You're listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Jordan Bell. Tomorrow night, NASA astronaut and Cal Poly alumnus Victor Glover will be speaking on the Cal Poly campus at the Spanos Theater about the benefits of science and engineering as part of the university's curriculum. Victor Glover joins us over the phone today. Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
Thank you, Jordan. Great to be here with you.
So since you graduated from Cal Poly about 15 years ago, you've accomplished a lot. What do you imagine it will be like to return to your alma mater to speak?
Oh, I imagine it's going to be great. The campus is beautiful, and I've always enjoyed walking around that campus. And to see how much it has grown and changed, I know that the engineering facilities have grown and developed into some pretty amazing laboratories and other facilities there to support students, you know, in their quest to learn by doing. And it'll be neat to see the facilities and try to catch up with old professors and advisors. But it'll be even more exciting to sit down and talk to some of the students that are there for the EPIC program this summer, the Engineering Possibilities in College, where they get to learn about engineering as a curriculum and then what types of careers there are out there. And I'm really looking forward to getting to talk to those students. I love being at Cal Poly. It's beautiful, and I'm really excited to be coming back.
So can you explain a little bit more about, you know, what you're going to be talking about, how the sciences, engineering, mathematics are important for young men and women who are studying those subjects?
Absolutely. The focus of my talk is going to be on engineering possibilities, and I'm going to try to supplement what they're going to hear the rest of the time and what they've already heard. There are multiple waves of students coming through, and the group that I'm talking to, I want to get them to think a little bit more about themselves and how engineering possibilities, which just means applying science and technology to design or overcoming challenges, and possibilities are just things that are possible. I want them to understand how that applies to them in their life right now, whether they go on to study design, to study science, to study critical thinking and analysis, psychology, whatever they choose to study in college, that engineering possibilities is something that we all do. It's when we think about the life that we want to have and the future and how we align our steps to get from now to there. And so I'm really trying to focus in on how I've been very lucky in that journey by trying to work hard and focusing on, you know, teamwork and a commitment to excellence and lifelong learning, and how I think that those things have developed into the possibilities that I have in front of me today and some of the amazing opportunities that that have grown out of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to discuss your career. And, you know, a lot of kids, they grow up, or when they grow up, they want to be an astronaut. And I don't know if that was like a childhood dream of yours, but I'm curious as to the noteworthy and important experiences in your life that kind of brought you to be in the spot you are now. And I understand that you were a wrestler also. So as an athlete and someone who studies engineering, what sorts of other things brought you to become an astronaut?
Well, the first thing that I have to say, and I'm trying to make this a more common discussion point, is grit. You know, people like to talk about intelligence. When I was flying F-18s in the Navy and I had a chance to come back and speak to students, you know, the teachers would take that opportunity to promote STEM and to promote working hard in school. And that's what I would try to latch on to. Hey, working hard in school, it's not about being smart. That's not something that you control. You control how hard you work. And when you work hard, people are going to say that you're smart. And so I really want to focus on the fact that grit and determination and dreaming big dreams are important, but making plans to achieve them and then jumping on those plans and grabbing on with both hands and working as hard as you can, that's where dreams come from, you know, the realization of dreams. And so, you know, for me, it's been an interesting ride, and I'm not going to give you all the details. You'll have to come tomorrow night because that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. But just to give you one small example, you brought up wrestling, and I like to talk about sports because I learned so much from being an athlete and still focusing on physical fitness and health. And I tell you, talking about teamwork and grit and stick-to-itiveness and how to win and how to lose, but how to come back and focus on the objective and focus on your team and focus on yourself and holding up your end of the bargain, those are definitely the things that contributed to me, one, wanting to go off and do something a little bit different. I took my degree and I went straight into the Navy to go to flight school, and I've had some amazing experiences and haven't looked back and regretted it one day in my life. So, you know, those are the things that I want to share with the kids that evening in Spanos Auditorium.
And so as you move forward in your career, what sorts of things will you be working on in terms of research?
Yeah, so you know, it's interesting. Being an astronaut is being ready to fly in space. If the chief of the office comes and says, hey, you're assigned to this mission, we've got to be ready to go. And that means a lot of things. We have a couple of really broad areas of study. We have to learn International Space Station systems, how the system works, and what we can do on board to keep the system running. We learn about robotics. We have robotic arms on the space station that we use to perform maintenance, to help with extravehicular activity, and other sorts of operations on board. We also have to learn to do extravehicular activity or spacewalking. And we train in the neutral buoyancy lab there. We put on the spacesuit and go underwater and practice repairing and fixing things on the outside of the station. We also fly in T-38 high-performance aircraft to work on procedures, real-time decision-making, and aviation proficiency as a group, as a team. And we also have to study foreign language, and that's definitely an interesting thing that kind of stretches your brain and helps you think in a different way, and also to communicate more effectively with some of the crew. The part of the crew are Russian cosmonauts, and some of the space station was built in Russia, and buttons and manuals are written in Cyrillic, and so you have to be able to be familiar with that language. So we'll continue to work on all of those things, to work on proficiencies. And I'm also currently training to be a CAPCOM, which is a term from back in the early days of manned space flight, when we referred to the person who spoke to the astronauts in space as the capsule communicator. And what that really is, when you see the Mission Control Center and all those folks sitting in front of a computer system, they're all specialists in a system. And you, as the CAPCOM, you talk to the crew. And so you have to be able to understand what's going on in that room and listen to the engineers and flight controllers talk about what's going on, and then you have to relate that information to the crew, and you also have to be able to take the crew's input and relate that back to the flight controllers. And you sit right next to the flight director, who is the boss, that he or she is the man in the room that has the authority to say, this is what we're doing or we're not doing. And you sit next to the flight director, and you're the one who speaks to the crew. So all of those people work on a system. Your system is the crew on board. So you're sort of a crew member and a flight controller at the same time. And so that's what the other thing that we do is one, you're ready to go if the chief calls you and says you're assigned to a mission. The other thing you do is primarily support ongoing spaceflight. And if you think about it, you know, your average astronaut is going to be an astronaut for a decade plus, but you may fly in space once. And so most of your career is here on the ground. And that's a very important thing to understand. If this is a goal for someone and they desire to be an astronaut, you'll spend most of your time on the ground, feet on the ground in 1G, but you do a lot of things to help advance human spaceflight and NASA's mission in general, bigger picture, with the science and the research that we perform on board the station by helping out with different projects on the ground and studying how the effects of space affect the body. And as we try to go further into space and trips that are going to take even longer, and people are going to be in their vehicles and hopefully on the surface of another planet for a long time. So lots of interesting things that you get to do in this job. And flying in space is just one of them.
Right. And I imagine that the work that everyone does at NASA, there's some very exciting points. For example, the images from the space probe that were just released, when there are those successes that are huge. On NPR, they did a story about the release of the photos and the community of NASA being together and no one working on anything but focusing on the photos. In that community, those moments, can you describe what some of those moments are like?
Well, you know, I was traveling when those images were released but I still shuffle through emails and online resources to see the pictures. I think it's bigger than just in this community, though. I think, you know, what we do has an impact on humankind. If you think about the pictures of the Earth from the moon, where the Earth is this small, pale blue orb out there that looks like the moon usually looks to a person standing on the surface of the Earth, looking up in the sky. That perspective is something that just appeals to humans. And I think it's, you know, when you try to answer those big questions of why are we here, you know, how does this system work, and what's just over the horizon that I can't see, what's out there in the dark, let's shine some light in the dark. That just appeals to people, period, not just at NASA. And, you know, look, these images of Pluto, when those images were sent back, I think people were excited to see something that was never seen in that way before. And that's just one specific planet or plutoid, you know, dwarf planet, as we call it now. But that's what I think we feel at NASA as well. You know, everyone that works at NASA doesn't do the same thing. You've got people working in budget, public affairs, marketing, that work on the politics, the legislative liaisons. You've got engineers and scientists. You've got astronauts. You've got pilots, researchers, and so you've got people doing all kinds of things. But they're also Americans. They're also humans. And when you hear that a vehicle traveled 3 billion miles, it was launched in 2006, and it's been flying over 30,000 miles an hour for almost 10 years, and now it's getting to its journey. And who doesn't want to see that picture? Who doesn't want to see what Pluto looks like up close? Who doesn't want to see the surface topography and the geographic structure, the geologic structures that you know, you haven't been able to see with that detail before? It's just captivating because you're a human and you want to see what hasn't been seen before.
Yeah. And I'm curious, have you worked on the technology or trained with the technology of CubeSats that Cal Poly students and Stanford students have designed?
I have not.
Okay.
There are projects students that have come out to Johnson Space Center to work with our zero-G flight program, and that have actually been able to work with other NASA centers and develop some technology that we're going to actually get into space for joint NASA and university research. But I did not work on CubeSats when I was at Cal Poly, but I always like to bring that up. I like to talk about the fact that, you know, you've got students putting things in space. I mean, when we talk about learn by doing, CubeSats have been around for a really long time. And I remember being at Caltech for a summer program my junior year, and listening to students there talk about the CubeSat that they were working on and just being amazed that students are doing these types of things. And so I did not work on them when I was at Cal Poly, and I haven't trained to work on anything specifically, but I can tell you there are small satellites like that being launched from the station, and those kinds of programs are an amazing example of the types of things that students can do while they're in undergrad. I mean, it's just amazing that these students are coming up with these projects, and I'm very proud to brag on them.
Victor Glover is a NASA astronaut and Cal Poly alum. He speaks tomorrow night on the Cal Poly campus. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jordan. It's been great.
And for Issues and Ideas, I'm Jordan Bell.